ran up on the hill about 12 o'clock. Reached right back and got me a poke. Went to the hard one, got me a hook. Placed that line right on that hook. Said, you've been fishing all the time. I'm going to fish you too. I bet your life, your loving wife, catch more fish than you. Any fish bite, got good bait. Here's a little something I've let you lay. Any fish bite, got good bait. I'm going to fish you. Yes, I'm going to fish you. I'm going to fish you too.
This is the Why Fish Radio Podcast with your hosts, Brad and Brad.
Hello once again and welcome to another episode of Why Fish Radio. I'm your host, Brad.
And I'm Brad, the other podcast.
Why Fish Radio is brought to you by Cats on the Red of Lockport, Manitoba, and Trophy Cat Adventures of Grand Forks. Well, Brad, you've had some interesting excitement on... Due to the weather, I've just kind of stayed put. What have you been up to?
Well, you were the smart one. You stayed inside. I wasn't so smart. I ventured out and persevered in some very adverse weather conditions. We started out with what was looking like a pretty nice spring here in the North Country. Had a week of some warm weather. Had a temperature close to 80 degrees. And then that all flew backwards here about a week ago. And we haven't climbed out of the cold stuff since. And had a chance over the weekend to go lake trout fishing up on the Ontario side of Lake of the Woods with some friends of mine at Ballard's Resort up on the Minnesota side of Lake of the Woods. And it was one of those trips where you kind of had a certain window of opportunity to play with. And that was the time that was going to work and made the best of what we had. And so we went up on Friday afternoon, snow squalls, snow flurries the size of wash tubs. A little bit of everything. Clear one minute, cloudy the next, snow, not snow. Just perfect weather for fine fishing. So you can kind of imagine how the fishing went.
Yeah, it was so great looking outside that I actually decided to stay put for the weekend, get the spring cleaning in the house done, and think, well, next week we're going to give her a go for a fine summer. And judging by today, I think that fine summer is... right around the corner.
You can probably tell I have a little bit of a frog-like tone to my voice here now. And I was feeling a cold coming on before. I'd managed to avoid it all winter long while people at work were dropping like flies. But I could kind of start to feel something. You just kind of get that feeling that you're getting sick. And I first started feeling it about Thursday. So I figured maybe a few days out in the cold and wind and snow, that would do wonders for kind of curing that situation. And it seems to be kicking in earnest right now. But as far as the fishing went, basically eight guys, three boats, zero lake trout. Spring is supposed to be the prime time for lake trout fishing, especially the first 2 weeks after ice out. And I think under normal situations that would be true. But when you have a cold front like we faced over the weekend, no fish in its right mind is going to bite.
I think that's kind of a key here. When you get a cold front like we're just coming out of now up here in the North Country, it seems that it will shut them down. You know, most fronts do make fishing a little more difficult, but it seems like, you know, you run into that, and this one just seems to be a little worse than normal. But for today's subject, you came up with something kind of funny, and I want you to read the quote before we really get into this subject.
All right, yeah, we came across this Sunday morning. I mean, the beauty about spending time as a lake cabin is, I mean, they all have their own personality. You know, the people that live there, they put their little trademark on the place. You know, whether it be, goofy signs on the wall or little knickknacks. In this case, the place we were staying, there was an actual mounted bottle bass on the wall. It was a bottle of beer mounted on a piece of wood with a head on one end and a tail at the other, so it actually kind of looked like a fish. And I thought that was pretty clever, but probably the best item we came across all weekend is an old coffee table book that was sitting in the cabin. And I didn't find it initially, but someone in the cabin yesterday morning were sitting around drinking coffee and just trying to put off going outside as long as possible. Comes across this little item, and he goes, "Hey, check this out. Look at how they talk about caring for northern pike." And So I opened up the pages of this book, and it's a 1964 book, probably a classic in the world of old-time fishing literature. It's called the Freshwater Fishing Bible, and their words of advice for northern pike is really nothing short of sinful, but it goes to show just how things have changed as far as perceptions and catch and release and, you know, just the mentality, you know, between then and now. And anyway, here's the excerpt that I came across about how to handle northern pike. Pike should be played until they give up completely and turn over on their sides before an attempt is made to land them. A large, wide-mouthed net can be used for the smaller fish. The larger fish can be gaffed through the lower lip. Experienced anglers and guides sometimes grab the pike in the gills or by placing a thumb and forefinger into the eye sockets. It's a good idea to have a billy club handy so you can bop the pike on the head and stun him and stop him from thrashing around. As a little bit of insight, they even included a very nice illustration of a set of forefingers into the eye socket of a northern pike, you know, just in case anybody couldn't quite figure out how to do that. And, you know, I remember reading, too, when I was a kid about, you know, grabbing a fish by the eyeballs like that was a good way, you know, to care for a fish. And, you know, I'm probably guilty of doing that once or twice myself. But, you know, in this day and age, obviously, we've moved beyond that. And don't grab a pike by the eyeballs would be probably the theme of the day.
Okay, listeners, don't try this at home. That is a perfect example of the mentality of where the fishing world is trying to get away from. And I think that steers us right into the subject of catch and release, you know, to learn to have more fun with fishing. That's a common don't. You know, the proper way is use a net or get a plier over the side and just pull the hook and let the fish go. Because if you stick your hands in the eye sockets, your fingers in the eye sockets, that fish is blind. Pike are common predators who use eyesight to track down their prey, and that fish is blind. He's never going to eat again, and well, you could have just as well taken him home. But there's other fish that require some care, maybe a little more tender care than a pike even today, but I think that's really important for today's subject.
Well, another thing, you know, and it falls under the realm of, you know, a common mistake you see in fishing, you know, especially with big fish. You'll see somebody, you know, hoisting a pike under the gills and lifting it up vertically. And, you know, they don't realize it, but those fish aren't made for their organs to be hanging that way. What happens is, you know, everything, all the weight, gravity doing what it does, you know, the weight of the fish and the organs will cause it to sag. And it just does a lot of internal damage to the fish. So instead what you should do is, you know, hold the fish horizontally, you know, being sure to support the belly and the tail. And, you know, you want to take care of these fish. They're very special creatures, and you don't want to hurt them if you're going to let them go. So, you know, it's just little things like that. And, you know, sometimes honest mistakes are made. But, you know, above all, no grabbing by the eyeballs.
We learned that here a couple weeks ago with the sturgeon. It was basically common practice for people to grab them by the gill plates just because they're so huge and just hold them straight up. And a neat trick we learned, and if you've been on the blog of whyfishradio.com, you're seeing some of the photos. We either had two people hold them up or the person sit in the chair and then helped them get it so it was on their lap so those organs never did have a chance to move.
And, I mean, what a better way to show off a big fish than, you know, to have you and your buddy standing there holding it. I mean, that's impressive when it takes two people to hold a fish or to actually sit down so that you can actually lift it up. I mean, it's a much better picture than standing there and hoisting this big fish up. You know, maybe part of the tail is hanging down on the deck. And it's certainly much easier on the fish. And, you know, like I say, the memory of it is going to be so much better because you've done it right.
Right. And moving on to smaller fish, of course. You know, the walleyes, the crappies, things like that, you know, they require a little tender love and care, too, to get them back in the water. You know, just get your picture and get them back in the water. Don't throw them. Just kind of drop them or set them in the water. And, you know, get those hooks out as quick as you can. And, you know, the common theme of tonight's show is don't poke their eyes out.
And not only that, if a fish is hooked too deep, don't try to rip that hook out if you're planning letting it go. I mean, cut the hook. Fish have some pretty strong digestive juice, I'm told. And the hook will definitely dissolve in a short amount of time. And in the long run, the fish is going to be a lot better off. But I got to get back on this soapbox about grabbing a fish by the eyeballs, because, I mean, reading this thing just set me off. And it reminded me of a time I was up on a lake in northern Manitoba, and this would have been probably 10 years ago now. It was a fly-in trip. It was the first evening we'd been out there. We were staying at a lodge, a pretty nice lake. And we're back in the shallow bay, and I see this big fish off just a little ways from the boat. It's just kind of sitting there, you know, fanning its fins and really not doing much. And so we boated over for a little closer look. The fish didn't move. And at that point, you could tell it was a big northern. I mean, it was right side up, wasn't belly up. And we just couldn't figure out why the fish would be doing that. You know, something just wasn't right. So, you know, doing the natural thing as a fisherman, I pitched a jig right in its general direction. And it took a half-hearted swipe at the jig, and I had it hooked for just a second, but didn't get the fish hooked. But it didn't make a second attempt. It didn't try to swim away. Really didn't do anything. And so we boated over for a little closer look. Again, the fish didn't move. And finally we decided, well, we have to do something with this fish because, you know, it was obviously injured. And so we actually netted it and put it in the boat just to see what was going on, you know, which is a very unusual thing in and of itself. You normally wouldn't do that with a northern pike. But upon doing that, we noticed its eyeballs were punched in. And somebody had mishandled that fish, caught it, and, you know, did the old grab by the eyeballs trick and decided they were going to let it go afterwards. Well, that fish was basically dead. We took the fish and brought it back to the lodge. They weighed it, and it weighed in at 21 pounds, I mean, a true trophy northern pike. And they decided to bring it to a taxidermist to have it mounted. So, you know, I guess a sad story had a somewhat, you know, if you can call it a happy ending at this point. At least that fish, you know, didn't really go to waste. But what a waste to see something like that happen.
That is absolutely right. And folks, the bottom line here is we want you to enjoy the sport of fishing more and more as you go out. And one of the things we want is just for you to handle them properly, get them back in the water, because that's going to make it more fun and more enjoyable for not only you, but for someone else who wants to catch that fish and really just enjoy the togetherness and the pure enjoyment of fishing. That's going to do it for that kind of subject. Is there anything great coming up there, Brad, that we need to discuss?
Well, hopefully we'll have a little turnaround in the weather. I understand it's coming here right now. And, you know, the trip we made this past weekend, even though the weather was frightful, I mean, we had a great weekend. The crew that went up, you know, we're up on the Ontario side of Lake of the Woods, and the country's absolutely beautiful. I had my shot at glory. I had a nice lake trout on. I had it halfway to the boat, and the fish shook the hook. And oh, how I howled. But on the other hand, I mean, we ate well. We were in a great setting. You know, the company was good. And, you know, we made the best of a bad weather weekend and had a great time. And I think everybody that was on that trip would have done it all over again in a heartbeat.
Well, I think that's going to do it for this week. Don't forget, everybody, to sign up for our contest for the full day's guided trip from Trophy Cat Adventures and our friend Ken Hollins. This is going to be the last week you can sign up for that trip. We're going to announce it on the next show who the great winner is of that contest. So send us an email. This is your last week, contest@whyfishradio.com. Also, if you have any good fishing stories you'd like to share with us, we'd sure like to read them and hear them and maybe even put them on the air. And don't forget to call up the Mecca Catfishing and our friend Stu McKay up at Cats on the Red. Anything to add about Stu? I understand you spoke to him or we've talked to him in the last couple weeks.
Well, he's fired up for what's going to be a great season up there. I mean, the conditions here on the Red River are ideal. Manitoba's fishing season opens up here I think it's about the 14th of May on that Saturday. And, I mean, conditions are just right for a great opener. The catfish are going to be worked up. It's going to be pure mayhem, and it's going to be a lot of fun up in the Mecca Channel catfish. So, you know, give Stu a call at Cats on the Red. Check out his website. Phone number up there is area code 204-757-9876. And I think you remember the website better than I do.
CatsOnTheRed.net. Well, that's going to do it for another week of Why Fish Radio. Once again, I am your host, Brad.
And I'm Brad. Until next week, keep your hook in the water, keep your line tight, and most of all, keep it fun.
You have been listening to the Why Fish Radio podcast with your hosts, Brad and Brad. For more information, log on to our website at why-fish.com.